So reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. And they enter Capernaum, and immediately entering the synagogue on the Sabbath, he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man in an impure spirit. And he cried out, saying, "What is there between us and you, Jesus the Nazarene? Did you come to destroy us? I recognize who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked it, "Be silent and come out." And the impure spirit, convulsing him and shouting with a loud voice, came out of him. And all were astonished. So they debated amongst themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. And he commands the impure spirits, and they obey him." And the report of him immediately went forth everywhere, into the whole region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there are a number of challenges when it comes to reading and attempting to incorporate a story like this from the Gospels into our everyday, ordinary life. The first has got to be that we are just so saturated with images. So when I say demon, you picture, or like maybe like, you know, like you picture something, demon, you know, you see something in your mind, an image. Where did that image come from? You know, for most of history, we didn't have that many images. Up until the printing press, images were iconic, and everyone knew that the image wasn't literally trying to show you something. It was trying to show you something so you could perceive a spiritual reality. Icons were repeated over and over and over because they were a form to be kind of meditated on to understand what reality actually is like. But around the printing press and then into the modern world, we have images being reproduced and reproduced and reproduced, which leads to more images, which leads to more images. And by the time we get Looney Tunes, demons and the devil are out. Because how could anyone take that image seriously? You know, this story, Jesus tells an unclean spirit, that's the language of the Gospel of Mark, an unclean spirit. He tells it to come out, and it does say that the man yells and convulses, but it seems like a pretty quick affair. You watch a movie like The Exorcist, never mind The Exorcist 2 and The Exorcist 3, there's just 4, 5, 6 reboot. You know, by the time it becomes a capitalist brand, we can't take it seriously at all. It's being exploited. The language of spirits, or the language of demons. We'll get into the language a little bit still. But it's been so oversaturated that we can't actually hear what this ancient text is saying because we can't see through our own cultural lens. It's just too foggy. The second thing that makes it very difficult to talk about spirits in a time and a place like ours is that we are an anomaly. We in this room, educated, liberal, progressive, secular, materialists, we are an anomaly. Throughout history, almost all history, and even still, in many cultures on Earth, so most places through most of history, would have read a text like this and immediately understood exactly what it was saying. No questions asked. Yep, there are spirits. Yep, spirits get into people. Sometimes a higher authority has to cast out a lower authority spirit. Everybody knows that. Now, I don't know how that lived out in their cultures, tribes, and communities. There's plenty of stories showing you different ways that that's been witnessed to. But you can't deny that for them, it is very natural to believe in a world that is supernatural. It is part of their eyes, part of their words, part of their minds. We have no language, which doesn't mean that spiritual realities don't exist. It doesn't take long to recognize, even in the example that Jill read this morning from Lewis's book, written in 1941, back in 1941, it wasn't difficult to recognize how food can distract us, how news can distract us, how things can grab our attention and divert it from what might be so obvious if we were patient enough to attend to the realities in front of us. And so I just want to say that so that we don't think that we are normal and the text is strange. No, we are strange. We are at a strange time. We are strange people. And you know what? I wouldn't even be bothered by it if we were doing particularly well. Right? Like if we were like, but we solved mental health and the housing crisis and everything's aligned perfectly, just turns out we had to ignore all that spiritual stuff for things to work. But it's not working great. We're like, we don't have anything like unclean spirits in the world except the capitalist system that's dominating us and the destruction of many of the animals in the world, and none of us can pay attention to anything, and a bunch of people in the streets are always yelling at themselves, but we don't have anything spiritual going on. Now, I'll get later on to, like, I don't know how this all works. I'm just observing that we are not the people who ought to be arrogant about spiritual realities. And maybe a little humility from all of us modern minds as we enter this conversation, as we nuance out how this might live in our real life, perhaps the humility alone will be enough for us to see some new insight. And that's all I'm hoping for each of us. Some small way that the spiritual world can seem a little bit closer to our lives and maybe give us some tool that we haven't had before when it comes to engaging it. Okay, we good so far? Okay, preamble done. Let's move into the actual text. Jesus goes into a synagogue, like a church, a community, a space of prayer and teaching and scripture reading, similar to a space like this. And immediately somebody pops up. It says that they are in an impure spirit. And even right there, that changes the imagery. It doesn't say that they're possessed by an impure spirit, although that kind of language could be found in the New Testament, but it says that they are within it. It's like the water they're swimming in. You could almost picture like a cloud around their head, like they're in an impure spirit. So let's talk quickly about spirits, and then we'll talk about pure and impure. The ancient world believed that there were spirits all around us. They also believed that the spirits were above the human beings. This is very similar to what we see today. If you study sociology, you will see how trends manifest. If you look at politics, you'll see how political parties absorb people inside their ideologies and bend people to see the world in that ideology. So we're actually quite familiar with the fact that we human beings are not just super smart rationalists who make free choices, but all of us are in some sort of sociological category. All of us have ideas that shape our lives. An ancient way, and the way most of the world would have spoken of this for most of human history, would be to say there are spirits that contain people within them. And they are in a hierarchy. So people are below spirits, which means the spirits can control the people. Now, in the synagogue, it seems like everybody was in a shared spirit until Jesus speaks. And then one person who is in a different spirit from the whole begins to manifest, act out, embody that spirit by speaking to Jesus. And it says to him that it knows, it recognizes who he is, and gives him two titles. It says, Jesus the Nazarene, first title. And the second title, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, this spirit is called an unclean spirit, which is to say, it is against flourishing. It is against goodness. It is not sharing things truthfully with the one it possesses. It is obscuring the truth. So if we want to switch metaphors for a moment, some of you wear glasses. I don't wear glasses, but I think I understand how they work. If you're wearing glasses, they ought to help you see and perceive reality more clearly. Can I get an amen if that's accurate? Oh, I feel like a genius. I got it. So a clean glass, you can see clearly through. In fact, it might make reality more understandable. If your glasses were foggy, if your glasses were scratched, if your glasses were covered in mud, it would obscure what you are seeing. You would not be able to see as clearly. Some of you right now are having flashbacks to COVID when you had to wear masks and then it would all fog up in your glasses. Like, I can't see. It's like an impure spirit blinding my eye. That's what I'm sure you're making the connections yourselves. Just like that. Exactly. Testify. But this is not that wild to imagine that it's possible for something to cloud what you see in the world, or to cloud how others see you. Because if your glasses are foggy, scratched, or covered in mud, others can't see your eyes either. And so the connection is broken. This is what a spirit is like. Some of you understand what this is like in language that perhaps is less spiritual. Maybe you've gone to therapy. You've sat with a friend and had a deep conversation. And you've acknowledged resentments, envies, things that make you angry, things that make you grieve, things that maybe are not evil in and of themselves, but that may over time begin to warp how you see the world. If you live in a spirit of envy, everything good you see makes you envious. If you live in a spirit of lust, everything you see makes you lustful. Whatever idea, if you're trying to make a lot of money, everything you see will be an opportunity. This is how perception works. And so in the ancient world, they called this an unclean spirit. You could be living in, you could translate it even to like an idea, if you want to kind of secularize it a little bit. You're living in an idea, you're living in a cloud, you're living in a spirit, and that spirit will either be clean and show you what is true and be clear for others to look into your life as well, or it will be unclean and it will fight against what is true. Is that making sense so far? Okay. Side note, the word demon is the Greek word daimon. It doesn't mean like a little monster, but it does mean a spiritual force. So sometimes you'll read demon, that's the Greek word daimon, which means spirit. Other times, it's more Hebrew perspective, they'll use the word spirit and they'll just call it clean or unclean. So if we're talking about angels and demons or clean and unclean spirit, I think we're talking about very, very similar things. Okay, so let's think quickly then about authority. Jesus shows up, this spirit flares up, and Jesus speaks with one as authority and he says, "Come out of him." That's about it. He casts the spirit out. You could think of it in a similar way to someone maybe naming something in your life. If there's an idea, let's switch language for a moment, an idea that is ruining your life, affecting your perception, throwing off your sense of reality, someone could help you name that idea and that idea might leave. But to do that, you need to get authority over that spirit or over that idea. Carl Jung, psychologist, very well known for his work in kind of spiritual psychology work. He said that we think that people have ideas, but in reality, ideas have people. We think that maybe people have a spirit, but in reality, spirits have people. When we can name the spirit and name the idea, we are given authority because we've perceived it properly. And if that authority is true, it can now speak to that spirit. Jesus is Jesus the Nazarene. And that title would be below a spirit. Particular person from a particular place, nothing impressive, not an impressive place, not an impressive name. But he has also been baptized just before this. And in his baptism, another spirit, a Holy Spirit, has descended upon him and given him direct access to the God of gods. And guess who's greater than the spirits? God. And so by knowing who he is in relation to the living God, he can simply speak with authority, come out of him, and the spirit must obey. Now, all that we were just saying, we could talk in terms of psology and mental health and many of these things, there'd be parallels. That it doesn't feel all that strange, I don't think, to talk the way that we're talking about these texts. I will say now it gets strange. Because after he says, come out of him, the man goes, blah, and he falls on the ground, and all the classic demon stuff. And that part, we're like, whoa, we like it when it feels kind of secular, right? Like it's a little much when it gets on the nose like that. And all I want to suggest on that front is, we are not as rational and put together as we think. Do any of you have hobbies? Hands up if you have a hobby. Not to out those of you who have no hobby. Losers. Sorry, no. I don't know if hobbies are cool or not, but you know. Okay, if you have a hobby, I'm not going to try to give one example, because to try to perceive this kind of screaming, yelling, and thrashing side of ideas, you have to go to extreme places to see it clearly. But think about your hobby. I will confess, one of my traditional hobbies in my life is playing video games. Nerd. And I have met people who are so obsessed with their video games that if you said you can't play that anymore, they'd scream at you. People hyper addicted to online gaming. People just pouring not just tens of hours, hundreds and thousands of hours into these little worlds. People obsessed with their favorite character, their favorite company. I'm a Nintendo guy. I'm a Sony guy. See, I'm a nerd. I know all the houses of worship. And they are hyper loyal. And if you said to someone, hey, I think that your video game might be possessing you, you know what they do? Some extreme cases? How dare you tell me? You don't know me. Blah, blah, blah. Now take it to your hobby. Some of you like sports. No one's ever acted crazy when things go wrong in sport. Oh, and not politics, our precious politics out here saving the world, aren't we? No one's ever acted insane when their political bubble was burst or some higher authority was claimed. And you think about all the hobbies, the arts, movies, media, culture. Maybe we have a hard time believing that someone could convulse and cast out some sort of idea or spirit. But pick one edge case of the hobby you know most about, and I bet you could find someone who has something like an unclean spirit affecting their perception. I guarantee if you go on YouTube, you can find it in about 3 minutes. What do we do with that? I know this sounds strange. Spirits talking like this. But I don't think there's any data we have that is against this. I actually think it's pretty intuitive. And perhaps if we could find a healthy synthesis of how the whole world through all of history saw things, and how we in a post-enlightenment culture have begun to see things, perhaps we could find a healthy synthesis of these two worlds. Now, what I will say at this point is, I do not know the line. I do not know the line between what is material and what is spiritual. I don't know the line between ideas and spirits and hobbies and images and icons. I am not capable of discerning out all of these things. But I suspect that in this very congregation, there are a number of people who, if they gave themselves space to perceive the world through a little bit more of a spiritual lens, would very quickly find connections in your own fields of work and life, your own information specialties. And I think we might be a lot further down the road when it comes to solving some of these big crises that are facing us in a city like ours. What I'll say practically, and this is the only practical thing in this whole darn sermon, so if you want something practical, here it is. When you encounter something strange, and you remember this idea of spirits, just in your week, pray first. Pray first. It can be quietly in your mind, Jesus Christ, help. It can be out loud, hey, can I pray about that? Someone's sick, let's pray first, and then do all the material stuff. Someone's feeling psychically very unwell. If you have the permission to do so without force, pray first and then ask all the questions. We don't need to pick one side or the other. These are two parts of a seamless reality, but we have forgotten the prayer part. Am I wrong on this? Like, I think I know our congregation. I feel like we have forgotten the prayer part. It's like we'll do everything we can that's material and physical and predictable, fact-based, but we'll never step into the prayer part. I simply think bringing these two together would help us understand what we are dealing with. Just pray first, and then you'll know. And then you'll know. If nothing resolves after praying, use that name of Jesus, by the way. It is the one with authority. If nothing changes, it's material. Treat it like you would any other day. But maybe some things will shift in ways that you perceive. And then please tell me and each other about it so we can begin to discern what God's doing. Okay, I've been trying to end these sermons with good news because sometimes this can just be like a bit of a lecture and like a to-do. Ugh. So here's the good news when we're talking about spirits. You do not need to be Jesus. I saw somebody just wipe sweat off their forehead. You do not need to be the one that has authority. This is the gift of Jesus being Jesus. Now, if you live in this authority of God, you will become Jesus over time. That is the final hope, is that we all become Jesus in our own body. But you don't need to be Jesus today. You do need to know Jesus. You need to know the shape of the eternal mystery of God. And the shape of the eternal one looks something like Jesus, if you were to put it into human form. If you know Jesus, and if you can call on that name to be your aid, then you will be in the same authority that that Jesus stood in. If you are a person of the way of Christ who has asked a Holy Spirit to come into you, then the Jesus that you are remembering is living in you. The idea of Jesus is living in you. And the one that Jesus was linked to is also living in you. And so you have that authority, not because you've worked very hard to get it, but because it's been given to you as a gift. So trust that authority. Be open to that authority. Don't be afraid to ask for help from the one who wants to be your helper. Amen.